fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Go ahead. Poke the Blair.
Poke the Blair.
This is the Jeff Blair Show. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Don't forget Baseball Central at noon with yours truly and Kevin Barker. Dan Johnson's been made available to us, so one would presume the Jays will not be sending Dan Johnson down. With Danny Valencia arriving in town. Oh, you never know, right? Still, I'm just saying that if Dan Johnson was the odd man out, you wouldn't think he'd be made available to the radio station. So Dan Johnson joins Kevin Barker and myself in Baseball Central at noon. The Jays made a trade yesterday. You, of course, know this. It was a minor deal. A minor deal that Alex Anthopoulos thinks will address his team's major concern, which is handling left-handed pitching. And giving up Eric Kratz and Liam Hendricks for Danny Valencia. Alex Anthopoulos was making the type of, I'm going to be polite and call this salary neutral, salary neutral deal that I think we can expect from Alex Anthopoulos at the trade deadline and more importantly after the trade deadline, because I think it's pretty clear by now that Alex, unless he's really got something up his sleeve, is probably going to do much of his heavy lifting after the July 31st deadline, much as the Pittsburgh Pirates did last year. Now, whether he can get what he needs after that is another point entirely, but that is my sense. If Alex is focused on adding a starting pitcher because of concern about Drew Hutchison's innings and adding some bullpen help because of concern about the wear and tear in this bullpen, then I think much of that work will be done after the deadline. Jeff Passan's a national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. He's got a terrific column up on yahoo.com. And it's exactly, Mr. Passan, what I wanted to talk about, which is why we had you on.
Look at that. I feel so good. Anytime I can make you happy, Jeff, it's a good day.
See, that's why I like you, because nobody else takes that approach with me. Nobody else wants to make me happy. They all want to make my life living hell. People don't understand. I'm a happy man, damn it! And they make my life hell. John Lester. I was watching John Lester's last outing, and I'm thinking to myself, why the hell would the Red Sox be in a hurry to get rid of this guy? And more importantly, as your column addresses, why would you insult a guy like this with the type of contract offer they made to him? Can you explain this to me?
Yeah, because they don't want him.
Why?
Because I think they are very afraid of players who are older than 30 years old signing long-term contracts. And you know what? I sort of don't blame him for that. I mean, baseball has turned into this place where the contract structure is entirely backward. The likeliest players to succeed are generally the ones who get paid the least. Mm-hmm. And then you turn around and pay those players for their past performance, when in reality, the chances of their future performance matching it in any way are nil. I mean, there are very, very, very few guys, especially star-level guys, who are as good in their 30s, clean and good in their 30s, mm-hmm. as they were in their 20s. And yet, because of the way that the salary is structured with arbitration and, you know, players taking six full seasons to go to free agency, you've created this system that, I'm not going to call it untenable long term, but if there ever is labor dispute again, if the sides can't agree how to split up the $9 billion baseball is generating annually, it is going to be over the fact that free agency is an inefficient market, in that whoever signs John Lester to the $150 million he is almost certainly going to command may well, early on in the deal, come to regret it.
Well, I mean, and it's one of the things you point out. You know, there are some deals that John Lester is trying to use as sort of as a guideline. I mean, Zach Greinke's deal, six years, 147, Cole Hamels' territory, Homer Bailey's contract. Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, I don't know if I give John Lester that amount of money. But I guess I'm looking at it another way too, Jeff. You know, I've invested money in this guy. I've brought him up through the organization. He's won World Series for me. I've ridden the development curve with all that stuff. At some point, aren't you really sort of taking an asset that you have already invested a lot of money in and just seeing it through to the end?
Let me ask you this, though. Let's say Jeff Blair buys a stock. And
right away, the stock's going to tank.
Yeah, exactly. But let's say, just hypothetically, in this fantasy world, that this stock is a wonderfully performing stock, and that this stock makes you a lot of money, and that you have good times with this stock. And then let's say your daughter is ready to go to college, and you're looking, which is happening fairly soon, frighteningly, isn't it?
Shh. Shh, we don't talk about that. Go ahead.
Let's say you are trying to get money back from the stock, and let's look at the stock, and the stock all of a sudden doesn't look as good as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a tech company, it hasn't come up with with something of substance in years. Do you hold on to the stock in hopes that it's going to change its course? Or do you look at the history of such similar stocks and say, you know what, it probably makes sense to get rid of it while I've gotten as much out of it as I can?
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Red Sox are doing. They're looking at John Lester not as a person. They're looking at him as an asset. Because as robotic as that sounds, that's sort of what you have to do these days with baseball players, not to get yourself into a situation. You can't get sentimental. You can't get emotional. Because you know what happens when you do? Ryan Howard
happens. That's true. Watching Ryan Howard drop that throw yesterday.
Oh.
I mean,
it's just an albatross of a deal. And I don't think that John Lester is going to be an albatross. I think you can argue that John Lester is perhaps a likelier of the 30-somethings pitchers to have staying power. Mm-hmm. He's someone who has been healthy and who has not lost velocity and who has stayed strong through the wear and tear, but I just think the Red Sox, I don't think they have a whole lot of faith, and I think because of that they must steal him, because it's gotten to the point where whatever goodwill they had with him, I think it's evaporated.
Jeff Passan is a national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So you've got Cole Hamels, David Price, John Lester, Cliff Lee, I guess to a certain degree, and Bartolo Colon among some of the pitchers that may or may not be available on the market. How many of those do you think go? Like, could you see Tampa trading Price where they are right now?
Nah. No, I take it back. I could see Tampa doing anything.
All right.
Tampa's crazy and creative, and I think Andrew Friedman's one of the five best guys out there. But is it as likely as it was a couple of weeks ago? Not even close. I thought it was a fait accompli then, but the Rays have started winning. And do you see the Rays rotation right now?
It's scary.
It is good, and it lost Matt Moore to Tommy John.
I know.
And it's still this good. I mean, Jeremy Hellickson, a good major league pitcher, is going to be pushed out of the rotation when Matt Moore comes back next season. And to have Jake Odorizzi as, you know, a guy who's striking out something in the neighborhood of 11 guys per 9 innings as a rookie, to have him as your number 5 starter, I mean, it's too bad that the Rays just don't have any hitting. Mm-hmm. And you wonder if they're going to go and take a guy like Alex Cobb, for example, you know, and eventually flip him.
Right.
I mean, that's what they've been able to do. If Will Myers comes back, if they can get a haul for David Price, or if they hold on to him going into the next season, the Rays, either way, I think the Rays are in a very good position.
Do you see teams making one of these big pitchers, and I'm going to call them big pitchers and, you know, in ditto marks, do you see one of these guys going after the deadline? Or if they're not gone by the deadline, are they going to stay with their team for the rest of the year?
You know, I think Cliffley and Cole Hamels could be those guys. And by the way, you asked about them. I think Lester goes. I think Price stays. I think Colon stays. And who was the other? Was it Lee or Hamels?
Leanne Hamels. I mean,
Leanne Hamels. Yeah. I think Hamels stays. I think Lee stays. So I think Lester, honestly, is the only big one. There's a chance that the Dodgers go and get one of the non-Lesters. Mm-hmm. I think Lester's market, frankly, is the best out of everyone because he's probably going to be the cheapest. Cliffley would not cost nearly as much, I don't think. But Cliffley also, do you know how much Cliffley has a chance to get paid next year?
It's a lot. It's over $20 million, right?
Not just over $20 million. He's getting $25 million as a base salary. And there's an option. If he hits 200 innings and ends the season not on the disabled list with shoulder issues, then he gets a $27.5 million option for, I believe, his age 37 season in 2016. But if he doesn't do that and the team does not trigger that option, there's a $12.5 million buyout, which means that Cliffley for one season next year could get paid $37.5 million.
Yikes. Yeah, that's something to think about.
I would say.
That's a great agent. I call that a great agent.
he got a lot of money late into his 30s, and it's good for him. A $12.5 million buyout is just patently absurd. I mean, it's the type of thing that is going to keep him from getting traded, and honestly, is going to keep him with this garbage team in Philadelphia that surrounds him right now.
Is there somebody out there, Jeff, that we should keep an eye on? Somebody that, when I say somebody, I'm talking about a player that we may be surprised to see moved?
You know, I think I don't know if this could be a salary neutral thing, but we have to remember that the Blue Jays were very interested in trading for Brett Anderson last offseason. I know that got squelched on the medicals, but when you have a guy who's going to come very cheap prospect-wise and who probably you could get some of the leftover money picked up and who in his last two starts has looked excellent, that's the type of area where I think Alex Anthopoulos can navigate and can do damage. Because if Brett Anderson's healthy, he's really good. He's the type of guy who's going to help you get to the playoffs. And I know if Brett Anderson is healthy is a sentence, a clause that has been uttered many a time only for it to end up with he's not. Mm-hmm. But in the annals of low-risk deals, I'd say that's one of the types of areas in which Alex Anthopoulos navigates very smoothly and could be seen to do something.
Jeff, was good of you to join us this morning. Thanks, as always.
Pleasure is always mine, my friend.
We'll be in touch.
Look forward to it.
That's Jeff Passan. He's a national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports. Guy's got an exclamation mark in his business card. It's a line I always use with the Yahoo Sports guys. I'm Steve McAllister, their sports editor in Canada, will get a kick out of that. I always use that line about business cards with asterisks or with exclamation points. We appreciate Jeff Passan joining us. There you go. Brett Anderson. There's a name to keep in mind. There's a couple of relievers who might be available, that I think you might be able to see Alex Anthopoulos do some business on as well. I know the Jays have spent an inordinate amount of time watching the Arizona Diamondbacks. And, there's, depending on who you talk to, there's talk that Brad Ziegler might be available or Addison Reed, their closer, might be available. But that's if Alex was going to focus on going after a relief pitcher. Brett Anderson's an interesting name. And, again, we think we can safely say right now that Alex won't be in any of those blockbuster deals. I love that Jeff Passan said it, as he went down and handicapped the possibility of the starting pitcher's going. John Lester. Jays aren't going to be players for John Lester. I'm with Jeff. I made a list of pitchers, and I'll run through them with you. Bartolo Colon. You might be able to pick him up after the deadline. AJ Burnett, you might be able to pick him up after the deadline. Cliff Lee, I don't think you want any part of that contract. Cole Hamels, I honestly don't think Cole Hamels is going anywhere. David Price, I've already said I don't think David Price is going anywhere. John Lester, I don't know. I go back and forth on John Lester. But really, if you're John Lester, what message is the organization sending you when they extend you an initial, they make you an initial contract offer that's about $30 million less than the market would suggest you're worth? And, you know, I mean, there are starting points in negotiations, and there are starting points in negotiations. And that doesn't seem to me to be much of a starting point. And my guess is that John Lester's availability will probably have an impact on David Price's availability. If David Price is the big, if he's the big guy in the market, if he's the big dog in the market, if he's the only dog in the market, then maybe if you're Tampa Bay, you can get the type of return that allows you to keep alive your chances of the AL East this year while also building for the future. But if John Lester's out there all of a sudden, the market for that really elite level pitcher is flooded. Because realistically, there's only a couple of teams that can afford to be fishing in that pond. One of the caveats to all this I would put out there, though, is the Los Angeles Dodgers have great whacks of money. Apparently have absolutely no issue with throwing it around. And, I mean, they are the one team that could go out and just go nuclear in this market. And the Dodgers have to win at some point in the next 2 years. The Dodgers want to win this year. San Francisco may be without Matt Cain for the rest of the year. San Francisco right now is pitching on a wing and a prayer with Jake Peavy and Tim Lincecum. And if you're the Dodgers, you're looking at this one, we have to put the pedal to the metal this year. This is the year to do it. And maybe part of that involves just saying the hell with it and going all in on John Lester. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. So Alex Anthopoulos has made a deal. Danny Valencia, journeyman, joins the team. Healthy, when the Jays are healthy, he's a bat off the bench. He is Mark DeRosa. He joins the team for Eric Kratz and Liam Hendricks. Liam Hendricks will report to Kansas City's AAA affiliate in Omaha. Eric Kratz will be in the big league team. We do this every now and then. We try to take the temperature of Blue Jays fans. And I think the morning after trade's a perfect time to do it. Is this what we are going to be looking at from Alex Anthopoulos at the trade deadline? The Danny Valencias of the world. Now, I'm not casting aspersions on that because I think the Jays have upgraded by adding Danny Valencia. Not upgraded to the point where I'm going to sit here and say, that's it, they're on their way to the World Series, hallelujah. But he gives them a commodity they needed. Do you think that's all Alex Anthopoulos does? Do you think he makes another similar move? Or are you one of those people still holding out for a big move by Alex Anthopoulos? 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. You call them surgical additions. Additions that address specific issues. But I think back to what Jerry Hauer said in the first hour of our show. I think if you're Alex, you have to keep your eyes open for a big arm. Because Mark Burley and Ari Dickey are getting older. You've got Stroman, Sanchez, and Hutchison. And as much as I like Marcus Stroman, we all know about young pitchers and their second season. It's not always a positive linear progression. There are setbacks. You'd probably like another veteran arm in there if you're Alex Anthopoulos. You've got an option on Brandon Morrow for next year at $10 million. And if you're Alex Anthopoulos, you've got a way that $10 million club option against getting somebody else in here. So there are some decisions that need to be made about starting pitching next year, and they're going to have to be made in the context of a pennant race this year. That's just the way it happens. The two things aren't mutually exclusive, not always. So again, let's go down the big pitchers available to the best of our understanding. AJ Burnett and Bartolo Colon. Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, David Price, John Lester. Tough to see the Jays in the market for any of them. Colon would interest me. But there are risks with him. You are making yourself older. Bartolo Colon addresses the issues you face this year. Doesn't necessarily address the issues you face next year. He's old, he's fat, he can still pitch. It's a gamble. Because at some point, the old and fat guys become old and fat guys and stop being old and fat pitchers. Roger in London. You're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning,
Rog.
Jeff.
What's up?
Couple of things. I like the trade. I think it's going to help us with our left-handed pitching. Or hitting against left-handed pitching. I think we've missed that and been exposed to it for the last little while. So I think we'll be better prepared in those situations going forward. So I really like that. I have a feeling that Friday morning when you're talking to Alex, you're going to get that speech about we had a lot of irons in the fire, but we just couldn't come close to making a deal because either we couldn't give up or they wanted too much, one of those kind of speeches, which is going to be, to me, disappointing. I just have that feeling.
Well, I think you're right. I think we're going to hear that. I don't believe Alex is being untruthful when he says that. I think he is being truthful. I think he engages a lot of teams in discussion, but you know, Alex has in recent weeks been very political when it comes to answers about questions regarding the team's payroll, and he hasn't done anything to prevent people from putting two and two together and coming up with the negative four.
Yes.
So
I
can't disagree with you about that. I honestly believe that if Alex was going to make that big deal, it would have been done by now. Because I think Alex is one of those people that realizes if you're going to go all in on a deal, then get it done ahead of the deadline. In other words, if I can get, let's just suppose David Price was available. If I can get, and David Price is going to help me. If I can get David Price on July 1st, and it's going to cost me more than waiting till July 31st, why wouldn't I get him? It's going to give me an extra four starts of David Price, five starts of David Price. I don't know. I'm just pulling the numbers out there. Why wouldn't you move early? And I know Alex thinks that way. And to me, the fact that he wasn't able to get anything done early means that there's nothing big out there. If there was something big out there he could do, if there was something big out there he felt motivated to do, I think it would have been done by now. Zane in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Zane.
Good morning, John.
How are you? Zane, are you there? No Zane. Damn, that's one of my favorite names. I covered Zane Smith when he was with the Expos. It's a great name. Whoever names their kid Zane must have been a reader of Western novels at some point. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Scott in Scarborough, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff. I've heard some rumblings that Justin Masterson could be available.
He is.
He's had a bit of a rough year, and he's a free agent. It could be a good buy-low situation for the Jays.
Good ground ball pitcher. A lot of concerns about his health.
Pitched really well in Toronto, too.
Yeah, there's just... It's odd because Scott, at the start of the year, Justin Masterson's name was one of the names that anytime anybody talked about trading for a pitcher, he was out there. I mean, we mentioned it when the deal for Irvin Santana fell through. There's always been this idea that Justin Masterson would appeal to the Blue Jays, much the same way as A.J. Burnett would appeal to the Blue Jays, a ground ball pitcher, a guy who could keep the ball down in this ballpark. But there are so many health issues with him that I would really, I would be surprised if a team like the Jays would take a shot at him. Mike in Niagara Falls, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What is up, Mike?
Good morning, Jeff.
How are we?
I'm great. How could you not enjoy that last night?
It was awesome.
And
did you like the look on John Farrell's face as he was watching Felix DuBrant crap the bed?
I watched the Blue Jays in 33 times just to watch that look.
My heart bled for him from the bottom down.
Yeah. In the great offensive outburst, I thought R.A. Dickey's performance was a little bit underlooked. And
yep.
Our fan base doesn't, you know, they haven't really, of course, he hasn't given them a lot of reason to appreciate him. But his last five or six starts have been quality starts, and he has had no run support. And if you remember last year, Jeff, his second half was strong. But also, he had the look in his face last night. Like when he struggled Poppy in the first inning.
It's interesting you mention that because I made a note. I was watching the game, and I made a note here in my book about his demeanor on the mound, and it was for the past, and I think we talked to Buck about this, for the past couple of starts he's been there's been a little more
intensity,
yeah, but a quiet intensity, you know, there's been a little more sort of focus is a bad word, but yeah, he's just seemed different on the mound, and you're right, look, he R.A. Dickey's going to be a frustrating, and I said this when they got him, he's going to be a frustrating guy to watch because he throws a knuckleball. He throws a pitch that he admits he doesn't know what it's going to do in any given day. It's a total crapshoot with him. It can be great. Can be awful. It's a tough guy to live with. If you're a baseball fan, that's a tough guy to live with. Now he comes over to a new team in a new league as a Cy Young Award winner. Obviously, your expectations are going to be high. And you know what? Even if you believe people like me who were telling you at the start, hey, this guy, don't expect this guy to be an ace. This guy can be a very important part of a very good rotation. This guy can give you a lot of good innings. On some nights, he can be flat out unhittable. But even if you believed us, a little part of you thought, yeah, but he won a Cy Young Award. So he's got to be able to dominate. And maybe he is that rare guy, that knuckleball pitcher who can be an ace in the AL East. And it's taken people a while to get over that and just accept R.A. Dickey for what he is. Jays are getting good value for R.A. Dickey. They really are. In this baseball climate, they're getting good value for R.A. Dickey. But honestly, I don't think, absent doing something like winning a playoff game, I don't think R.A. Dickey will ever get the level of love from Toronto fans that other pitchers will. He's a tough guy to cheer for. He's a tough guy to watch pitch. Joey in Toronto, you're in prime time. No, you're not. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey,
go ahead. I saw Eric Prime standing there, and all I could think of was prime time. Get the hell out of here, Prime. Go ahead.
Hey, Jeff.
I'm kidding. You can come back, Eric. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Hey, so I think, first off, this talk about blockbuster trades of the Jays just needs to stop. It's not happening, like you said. I mean, in your opinion, Jeff, do you think Daniel Norris and Aaron Sanchez together could land a David Price?
No.
Right, and they're not giving out Marcus Stroman. We can all agree this guy.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to call him. I mean, I think he's special. I'm not ready to call him. You know, I'm not saying he's on his way to the Hall of Fame or anything, but he looks like a legitimate, you know, top end, top of the rotation starter. Maybe not a one, but that upside is still there. But
yeah, and look, and I'll say this: I don't think Marcus Stroman and Daniel Norris get you David Price either.
Right. So, and it's not probably not going to get you John Lester. It's probably not going to get you any of those top end guys. So any of these other guys you're going to add, what are you going to do? You're going to get a mid-level guy like A.J. Burnett and then knock Jay Happ out of the rotation, which I'd be fine with. But what do you have to give up to get A.J. Burnett?
Yeah. The thing I would say about getting a mid-level guy is not to hammer a dead horse, but Jerry Hauer said it. I think there are signs that Drew Hutchison's not going to be pitching at the, you know, through the end of August into September, I don't think. I think his innings are going to really have to be monitored. I think there's going to be a decrease in his workload. That's why I'm saying that if you're the Blue Jays, it might make more sense to wait until sometime in August and try to add that guy, try to add A.J. Burnett. So maybe you can put A.J. Burnett in gradually and sort of gradually wean Drew Hutchison out of the rotation. That's what I think Jerry was talking about. Jerry's also talking about the fact that you can't get rid of those young guys because the rest of your rotation's pretty old right now. And you've got to keep that in mind. You've got to look at Mark Burley and R.A. Dickey's ages. You just have to. And no disrespect to R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley, but you've got to be aware of the fact that they're a year older. And you have to guard accordingly. Because the last thing you want to have happen if you're the Blue Jays is to find out that next year is the year that Mark Burley just starts to wear down. And you don't want to be left with an $18 million contract, a guy wearing down, and no plan B. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We'll continue our discussion about the Blue Jays. Jared Connaughton, Canadian sprinter, is competing in the Commonwealth Games. He'll join us as well. We'll do a little baseball, do a little track. We can do that because it's a Jeff Blair show. And this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Playing that song still not going to put me in a good mood, you know that? Okay. We're attempting to reach Jared Connaughton, who is in Glasgow as part of Canada's Commonwealth Games team. Finished third in his qualifying heat on Sunday in the men's 100 meters, missing the men's final by 0.02 of a second. Now the next opportunity for Jared Connaughton will be hopefully as a member of the 4x100 meter team, which has yet to be named. The team's obviously over in Glasgow, but coaches will put together the team just before the event. And of course, if you think back to 2012 in London, Jared Connaughton and the Canadian men's 4x100 meter team, pulled us all out of our seats with what appeared to be a bronze medal winning run, and then they were disqualified because Connaughton had left his lane and covered that race. And in a lot of ways, that's going to be one of the Canadian sports moments that that I remember. Andy in Toronto, you're in Sportsnet 590. The Fan, what's up, Andy? As we continue our Blue Jays discussion, go ahead.
It's a matter of tweaking now. I think the time to act was a lot earlier for a blockbuster when they could have put the throat their foot on the throat of some teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anything big is going to happen. And I think they're really concerned with the payroll. I mean, whether Alex skirts the issue or not, that's a big concern. So
I would say they're aware of it and not concerned. And I'm not saying that to split hairs, but I think it's more an awareness than a concern, because I don't think anybody thinks that the payroll is going to be cut next year.
No, and I think...
But I know what you mean.
Yeah, and it's moving forward, too. Like, you're talking about Cabrera, you're talking about Jansen, you're talking about some guys getting some bumps in their salary. Now, mm-hmm. some guys are coming off the payroll, that's for sure. But I think they're looking into the future. They're saying, okay, we've got Stroman. Hutchins should be better next year. Can
yep.
Sanchez step up next year so we can, you know, sort of ease the payroll that way and balance it? The thing I'm going to challenge you with,
sure.
because you made a comment last week, I think it was, and I tried to get through, and you said you were talking about Rajay Davis, and you quoted, I put the quote down here, Davis is not going to be to help you win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that time, I looked up his stats, in particular against left-handed batters. Like, you know, and it was interesting listening to Mel Didier, and I'm a big guy. I mean, I grew up with the, you know, the Vince Colemans, the Willie Wilsons, the Omar Morenos, the Ron LaFleurs, the Tim Raines. I've always been a speed guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear these guys talking all the time, speed doesn't go into slumps. And this guy now coming in, they're talking about a career 333 average against against lefties and stuff like that. Last week, when you had made that comment about Davis, he was hitting 366 against lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's up to 374.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 400 on-base average against lefties. Now he's up to 406.
Mm-hmm.
He had an OPS of 981. Now he's up to 992, plus
mm-hmm.
28 stolen bases at $5 million a year. I would have loved to have him in there as, like, your fourth outfielder, rotating him in as a DH also, and giving some of those outfielders a break. That's what I would have done. Now, let me ask you another question, Jeff. Who is the better center fielder, Ghost or Rasmus?
I think Ghost is.
Definitely. So, and again, not to pile on John Gibbons, but is it a political move? And again, I don't think they have any interest, and I wouldn't have any interest in re-signing Rasmus. Is it a political move when they're both in the lineup together? You've got a Ghost wasted out in left field or even in right field instead of playing center field?
No, I don't think it's a political move. I think it's Colby'd be lost in left field. I think Colby'd be totally lost in left field. I think if you play Colby, he's got to be in center field. And Ghost, you know, Ghost is much more comfortable playing the corner outfield positions. I frankly like Ghost in right field a lot. As for Rajai Davis is having a great year. I don't think Rajai Davis is the type of guy that makes a difference between the Jays getting to the playoffs and not getting to the playoffs. I also don't like Rajai Davis's defense. I never have. To me, Rajai Davis is a guy you're going to have to play defense for late in the game. People look at Rajai Davis, they see a fast guy, they see an athletic guy, they automatically assume that he's a great defender because he's fast and athletic. He isn't. He takes horrible routes to the ball. Again, he's a guy you're going to have to play defense for late in the game. Now ask yourself, would you rather have Rajai Davis or Melky Cabrera in left field? That's a no-brainer. I know people in this city love Rajai Davis because he's fast and athletic. Again, people automatically assume that a fast, athletic guy is a Gold Glove winning outfielder. And that's not the case. And with all due respect to Rajai Davis and the caller, Rajai Davis is helped by playing at Comerica Park. It plays into his game perfectly. Lots of area to slap those balls into. Lots of gap doubles. I'm not saying I think he's the worst player ever. I'm saying I just don't think that Rajai Davis makes a difference to the Blue Jays one way or another. You heard our intro. Jared Connaughton, of course, is one of our sprinters. He is in Glasgow. The Commonwealth Games are on. Just missed qualifying for the men's final. Jared Connaughton, the pride of PEI, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Jared, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So have they decided yet what the makeup of the 4x100 team is going to be?
No, not yet. We have to wait to see. We have three men in the 200 meters tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously part of the relay pool. So after those three rounds, hopefully they make it through to the final. Then we'll know more then. But it's a game time decision for sure.
How does that factor into your training? I mean, it's got to be awfully hard to stay prepared mentally, you know, unless the coaches have, there's a nudge, nudge, wink, wink thing. But other than that, it's got to be hard to remain sort of prepared mentally. Is it not sort of not knowing whether or not the, you know, A, whether or not you'll be in the team, or B, what the composition of the team will be?
Yeah, definitely. We went in with the same mentality in London 2012 Olympics. We didn't really know who would be there, what order it'd be, and we kept everybody on the edge of their seat. But that anticipation, will I go, won't I go, is actually a good reaffirming for your confidence, because it keeps you sharp, keeps you ready, and you can't go through the motions in your preparation. So it's a good thing, but it does bring anxiety for sure.
What's the quality of this of the Commonwealth Games been like, the quality of the track competition?
That's been great. I mean, I competed in Commonwealth Games in 2010 in India. It was very late in the season. It was in October. So compared this one to that one, you can really see this is a legitimate world-class facility, world-class meet. The weather's pretty bad. It's windy, cold, blustery, as you can imagine, in Scotland. But everybody, it's the ultimate equaling factor, and that's what it's all about.
Where does this fit into your routine as we look ahead to Rio?
Well, you know, it's certainly not a World Championships or Olympic Games, and you can't view it like that. It's definitely a launching point onto the next phase of your preparation for, even Pan Am Games next year. That's mm-hmm. it's a similar idea for our preparation, but it's a year to year. It's just like any sport. You know, you gotta take the opportunities you have and literally and figuratively run with it. But it's certainly not as big as the Olympics, but it's definitely something we look forward to every 4 years.
After your experience in London 2012 and the disqualification in the relay, do you look at almost every 4x100 relay as a chance for redemption, or have you moved beyond that?
It's a good question, because I'm not sure if I have an exact answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the team last year was bronze medalist in Moscow. So that was a redeeming quality for sure. But again, it's not the Olympic Games. It was, we were a real long shot to even make a final in London, let alone challenge for a medal. So, I'm getting on up there in years. I'm 29, and I've been to the games twice before. Will I get another shot in Rio? It remains to be seen. But it's always in the back of your mind, proving to yourself that you belong now, and proving that London wasn't a fluke, and that's what the team set out to do, is be a perennial contender for a global medal year in, year out.
Jared, it was great of you to join us. Wish we had a little more time to chat. We'll be watching. Best of luck and stay healthy.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Take care. That is Jared Connaughton, Canadian sprinter. One of my favorites, on a personal note, from PEI. And the men's relay, I believe it will be run this weekend at the Commonwealth Games, and our friends at CBC will have it for you. Appreciate Jared Connaughton joining us. Still got more to say about the Blue Jays and that Danny Valencia trade. Andy McCulloch's Royals beat writer for the Kansas City Star. He's going to join us when we come back. We'll talk to Andy about Danny Valencia and about the Royals angle on the Eric Kratz, Liam Hendricks for Danny Valencia deal. Hey, maybe the only trade we get to talk about. This is the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.